Hello, my name is Jeremy Tyndall, and I'm a graduate student at the University of Calgary in the Faculty of Kinesiology and the Faculty of Medicine in Community and Rehabilitation Disability Studies. In fact, my minor was in Adapted and Therapeutic Physical Activity. My research involves visibilities and representations of disabilities in sport in the Paralympics through mass media, such as newspapers, television, and campaigns, sports stakeholder perceptions of sociocultural dimensions of sport. Sociocultural dimensions of sport examine the history and politics of the Olympics and Paralympics, government sport policy, media representations of body cultures, perceived by a cohort of undergraduate students, graduate students studying physical education and sport professionals such as athletes and sport policy makers, and barriers to sport participation of disabled people at the amateur and elite level. Today, I will talk about sport for peace and development, the important role of Paralympic athletes, aptly titled Sport Peacebuilding, Emergence, Sustainability, and Disability. Sport as a tool for peace building has the ability to affect change at the global level by providing life skills to youth and children such as communication, leadership, cooperation, discipline, participation, respect, and trust. Although it is a prospective field of research, there is no literature which explores the role of sports peacebuilding programs for disabled people in regions experiencing global conflict. The 2012 Statistics for Disability from Disabled World stated that for every child killed in warfare, 3 are injured and acquire a permanent form of disability, and in some countries up to a quarter of disabilities result from war and violence. Thus, research is needed to seek out, monitor, and evaluate sport peacebuilding programs to ensure sustainability of both programs and outcomes for disabled people, to help bridge the gap between disputing populations. According to the UN Office on Sport for Development and Peace, UNOSDP, sport is a flexible and cost-effective medium for post-conflict relief, work, and peace-building, as well as conflict prevention. Current sport and peace initiatives, such as Sports United, under the United States Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, focuses on developing sustainability of positive programs and outcomes for non-disabled people in both high and low-income countries. The Paralympics plays an important role in sport peace development. The UN Office on Sport for Development and Peace stated on their webpage that they work closely with UN system's sister organizations, the London Games Organizing Committee, the UK government, and the International Olympic and Paralympic Committees to channel the publicity and excitement of the Games for the promotion of development and peace-building initiatives. They further stated that during the upcoming 2012 London Paralympic Games, which have now occurred, more activities are planned, in particular highlighting and fostering issues pertaining to the well-being, empowerment, and inclusion of persons living with a disability. The Center for Peace and Reconciliation Studies at Coventry University and the International Wheelchair and Amputee Sports Federation, just before the Paralympics, organized an international interdisciplinary conference for academics and practitioners focusing on disability sport as a social change. The conference had, among others, the theme of disability sport as a tool for peace and development in post-conflict zones. However, the visibility of disabled people as actors in furthering development and peace through sport needs improvement. The second Peace and Sport Forum in 2008 was held with the theme, How Can Sport Encourage Communities to Become Together by Helping Them to Accept Their Differences? The 2011 forum had a workshop called, How Can Disability Sport Contribute to the Peacebuilding Process? Disabled people, for sure, can teach a lot on the trial and tribulation of being accepted with their difference. The Peace and Sport organization that organizes this forum has on top its webpage the quote, "Sport has a unique and irreplaceable capacity to unite people going far beyond ethnic, religious, or social differences. I am convinced that sport can be at the long-term service of peace." And that quote was from HSH, Prince Albert II of Monaco. It would be really nice if ability differences were added to such a quote, however. To fulfill the vision of disabled people joining the group of leaders in peace and development through sport, two obstacles have to be overcome. One is barriers to sport participation in sport that many disabled people, especially in low-income areas, still experience. A lot of efforts attempt into cutting down barriers also. We are still far away from that goal, as Wilfried Lemke, the special advisor to the United Nations Secretary General on Sport for Development and Peace, indicates. However, this is only one essential step. Another step that needs to happen at the same time is the acceptance of difference, ability, and otherwise. This is where the goal of Olympism comes in, where the goal of Olympism is to place sport at the service of the harmonious development of humankind, with a view to promoting a peaceful society concerned with the preservation of human dignity. Without acceptance of difference, especially of ability difference, no harmonious development of humankind can take place. In 2008, Sport Canada stated that although 12.4% of Canadians have disabilities, they represent only 1% of the memberships of national sports organizations. If disabled people are hardly included in sport peace-building initiatives in high-income countries, then it is not surprising that they are hardly included in sport peace-building programs in low-income countries. This presents a problem from a global health perspective because exclusion of disabled people in peacebuilding and mainstream sporting events such as the emerging Youth Olympics creates barriers to diplomacy and openness toward increasing dialogue and greater cultural understanding of ability difference. It is high time Olympism is applied to the Paralympics as well as sport peacebuilding initiatives for disabled people. Now, it's easy to talk about peace. We should have peace. We hear that all the time. But it's never really addressed, or rarely addressed, how often how we should have peace. And to go off of sport, we can use the UNESCO framework, which provides the following 10 bases for a culture of peace. 1. Satisfaction of basic human necessities, including not only material needs, but also those which are political, social, juridical, and cultural. 2. Education for change, promoting values which guide people's actions in daily practice, enforced through sport. 3. Freedom from myths, especially the myths and symbols which prevent people from taking personal responsibility for the future. 4. Demilitarization of defense, recognizing that the solution of conflicts does not necessarily require military force. 5. Demystification of threats, recognizing that others are not necessarily our enemies. 6. Feminization of culture, replacing the war system, which is characterized by male-dominated social hierarchy and authority. 7. Disobedience as a virtue, not in the form of irresponsibility, but a critical consciousness engaged in the resolution of conflicts. 8. Respect for cultural identity, reversing the effects of imperialist and colonial policies, and avoiding any tendency to impose a universal culture. I would say this could be represented through a bottom-up approach as opposed to a top-down approach, where we could go into these subaltern communities that have been perhaps war-ravaged, and when trying to implement these support programs, we look more at what they need and how we can support them rather than what we think they need. So then it's more like not having the power decide, but having those people in that culture decide and being sensitive to that. Number 9, overcoming the logic of blocks such as the East-West conflict, accepting a world of diverse abilities. And number 10, empowerment of the small, the people in the face of the state, human rights in the face of state security, making possible the encounter of human being with his surroundings in equilibrium and freedom from oppression. In closing, disabled people participating in sport on all levels, and in particular Paralympic athletes, have a lot to contribute to sport for the peace and development endeavor. Disabled people live, promote, and understand the importance of interdependence, which is essential for peace. Furthermore, the disabled people discourse is one of the few that looks at the impact of the cultural dynamic of ability expectations, the want stage, and ableism, the need stage. The purpose of sport is often reduced to the ability to outcompete others, and doping is often performed because the ability to outperform others is seen as essential due to the positive consequences that are perceived to follow that one outcompetes others. However, sport is more than about outcompeting others, and if sport is used for peace and development, it's more important to look beyond the ability to outperform. Given that disabled people, including Paralympic athletes, look at the world through the ability, expectation, and ableism lens, due to the fact that they are judged based on their abilities and often judged as lacking essential abilities, they are perfectly situated to shape the discussion around what abilities ought to be included and how to prevent negative consequences in sport. They are the lived experience of ableism that makes them perfectly suited to look at peace and development through the ability expectation lens.